Rock Radio, the future of radio.
Integrity Now. I'm one of the hosts of the show, Carol Gravet. I'm here with Susan Wright and Matt Spaeth. Welcome, Matt. Welcome, Susan.
Hello, Carol.
And we have as our very special guest today, Sally Fallon. Sally is the president and founder of the Weston A. Price Foundation. She is the author of a wonderful book called Nourishing Traditions. And we're going to be talking with Sally today about all kinds of interesting things, including the raw milk dilemma and the recent FDA raids on raw milk producers. So welcome, Sally.
Thank you. Thank you, Carol.
It's exciting to have you as our guest today.
Thank you.
Let's start out with, what is the Weston A. Price Foundation and what does it do?
All right. Well, the Weston A. Price Foundation is a nonprofit nutrition education foundation. It was founded by myself, Dr. Mary Enig, and some other health professionals to provide accurate information about nutrition. It grew out of our concerns for the type of what we would call misinformation coming out of the various government agencies and medical associations, particularly as it applied to fats, the promotion of low-fat diets, especially for growing children, is a very tragic thing, and we felt there should be an independent organization to provide accurate information. We're named after Weston Price, who was a dentist who traveled throughout the world in the 30s and 40s trying to answer the question, what is a healthy diet? And he wrote a very influential book called Nutrition and Physical Degeneration. So we've named our foundation after him and his pioneering research.
So there's a lot of diet fads out there right now, the low-fat diet, the Atkins diet, the vegan diets. Your diet is completely different than most of those. You advocate raw milk and meat and a lot of fermented foods.
First, let me say that all of the cultures that Dr. Price visited, they all had different diets. I mean, the Eskimos were eating mostly meat, blubber, and fish, and the South Sea Islanders were eating a lot of plant foods and coconut and yams and seafood and pig. And then you go to the Swiss Alps and you have dairy foods and rye bread. So what we try to do, rather than say eat this or eat that, we say these are the principles that Dr. Price formulated. These are the underlying principles of all these diets. Every diet had animal foods. Every diet had foods that were very rich in vitamins A, D, and K, what we call the fat-soluble activators. Every diet had fermented foods. Every diet, or almost every diet, had bone broth in it. The cultures that used grains prepared them with very great care and a type of fermentation or sourdough. So we teach the principles, and then people can devise a diet that works for them based on these principles for their budget and their time and where they live and what they like to eat, and most importantly, whether their children will eat these foods. So, but the focus for us is on nutrient density. There are many ways to skin a cat, but you need to make sure you're getting an adequate amount of the vitamins and minerals in your diet. And when we say adequate, this is much higher level than what the government is recommending.
I've been using your cookbook for about a year, and I must say that I really enjoy the way that my cooking and diet has changed since I've been exposed to the information that I've learned in it. Particularly, I really love beet kvass. I think it's delicious.
You know, it's one of my favorite things. It's, for your listeners, beet kvass is a fermented beet juice. And it's just a fabulous drink for candida problems, fatigue, you know, for putting good flora back in the digestive tract.
Well, Sally, as you know, we talked a little bit earlier that I'm a vegan. So I have been on this diet only for about a month. So I'm experimenting with it to see how I feel. And I'm going to have some blood work done and see about my cholesterol. I have hereditarily high cholesterol. And I'm a person that I was eating well even before I started the vegan diet. You know, I'm nutritionally pretty balanced and exercise. And you indicated to me that you have a real problem with the vegan diet. And I just would love you to share that with our listeners. Why?
Okay. Well, first of all, no culture that Dr. Price visited had a vegan diet. They all used animal foods, and they put a great emphasis on the animal foods and went to a considerable danger to obtain the animal foods. All of the sacred foods considered important for having healthy children were animal foods. But I want to go focus first on your cholesterol and your idea that you had high cholesterol. And this is one of the things that we're at great pains to point out in the Weston A. Price Foundation. For the vast majority of the population, your cholesterol levels don't matter. And particularly for women, the higher your cholesterol, the longer you live. And this has been shown in a number of studies. And cholesterol is so important. You want your cholesterol to be high. You use cholesterol to make all your sex hormones, testosterone, estrogen, progesterone. You use cholesterol to make feel-good chemicals, to make stress hormones. Every cell in your body needs cholesterol for it to function properly. And the paradigm or the theory that cholesterol is bad and we need to get it down as low as possible was very deliberately promulgated on the population for two reasons. One is to sell processed foods, to get people to use vegetable oils instead of animal fats, and two, to sell cholesterol-lowering drugs. And they've led to an epidemic of disease. One of those diseases is cancer. When your cholesterol's too low, you're much more prone to cancer.
So aren't there two types of cholesterol? There's one that's supposed to be good and one that's supposed to be bad?
Supposed to be. They're both good as long as they're not oxidized. And cholesterol gets oxidized when we eat a lot of rancid vegetable oils. Cholesterol gets oxidized if we're, for example, drinking low-fat milk with powdered milk in it, because the powdering oxidizes the cholesterol. But mainly cholesterol gets oxidized in the body from free radicals, and free radicals basically come from rancid food.
Wow, I've never heard that term be used before, the oxidation.
Oxidized cholesterol.
Yeah. Of cholesterol.
I'm just reading a book by a man who's 96 years old who's been working on this whole problem of cholesterol and trans fats all his professional life. And he really focuses in on the oxidation of the cholesterol. The other thing he mentions, and this is a new concept to me, the LDL and the HDL are lipoproteins. So in order for these substances, very important substances, to be carried around in your body, you need certain proteins. And you almost need them on a daily basis because your body uses them up in about 36 hours. And these proteins are mostly, or these amino acids basically, are mostly the ones that come from animal foods, or at least the animal foods are much better sources of them.
Mm. You mentioned that there was a wide variety of diets that Dr. Price studied, and some of them were higher in animal products than others.
Absolutely, yes.
But they all did have a small amount, at least a small amount of animal products.
Absolutely.
And he found that the ones that did have at least that small amount thrived more than the cultures that had none or cut them out.
No, that's not correct. They had more. The cultures that had the highest levels of animal food were the healthiest, and they had virtually no cavities, no tooth decay. As more plant food was added to the diets, they had more tooth decay. Now, he did find some cultures in Africa where only about 10% of their diet was animal food. mm-hmm. suffered from quite a bit more tooth decay than the ones with greater amounts of animal foods. They were still a lot healthier than his patients back in Cleveland, Ohio. They were still eating natural foods, mm-hmm. but they were not as robust, and they did not have the immunity to tooth decay that the diets with higher animal foods had. And I will say this, those animal foods that they were eating, it wasn't skinless chicken breast. It was little dried shrimp and little whole dried fish and insects. These are extremely nutrient-dense animal foods. So they got most of what they need, even though they were eating very low amounts. And we don't like those types of foods. It's hard to get children to eat them for sure. And probably, I'd say, in the West, to get the adequate amount of all of the vitamins and minerals, we probably need more than what he was seeing in the African culture.
We've talked about nutrient density with our good friend Ewell Culbertson of Pachamama Organic Farm before on the show, mm-hmm. but we never touched on nutrient density of animals. Is there a source where people can find that information?
I wish I could point you to one. In other words, for example, how much, say, magnesium is in meat raised a certain way and how much phosphorus and so forth. But more than that, it's the different parts of the animal that vary so much. The organ meats and the fats are much more nutrient-dense than the muscle meats. And the traditional cultures often threw some of the muscle meat away, especially if it was too lean. They wanted the liver and the marrow and the brain and tongue and the organs. And we know that the organs have 10 to 100 times more of every single vitamin and mineral than the meat does.
What is the tongue good for?
Oh, the tongue is it's a fatty portion. It's they like to eat it. The first thing they do is cut the tongue out of the mouth of an animal. Oh. And I'm not saying that we should eat this way. You know, having raised 4 children, you have to be aware of the yuck factor and make sure that what you're serving is palatable to people.
Yeah, you got to make sure that they're going to eat it.
Exactly.
We are going to take a break. You are listening to Sally Fallon on Food Integrity Now, and I wanted to let our listeners know we're going to be giving away our last Maximilian's gift certificate to their restaurant in Woodland Park, Colorado. We will take the first caller in the third segment that mentions Maximilian's restaurant. We'll be right back. I'm Carol Gervais, and I'm a certified life coach and one of the hosts of the Food Integrity Now show right here on Castle Rock Radio. Have you ever dreamed of swimming with the wild and free dolphins? I'm not talking about the ones in captivity like the ones at Dolphin Quest. I'm talking about swimming with them in the wild. If this is something you've only dreamt about doing, I invite you to mark this off your bucket list now and join me for an all-inclusive trip to swim with the wild dolphins. Your trip to paradise will include organic gourmet meals, ocean waterfront accommodations, Lomi Lomi massage, and much more. What are you waiting for? Now is the time to make your dream a reality. For more information, go to wilddolphinswimadventures.com or contact me at carol@coachwithcarol.com or 719-687-7447. Once again, that's 719-687-7447. Mahalo. Linda Masterson, Soul Purpose Astrologer, works with astrological tools and with guides in the non-physical to assist ones in knowing their soul purpose. Important in this process is identification of significant blockages. In each session, tools are provided for working with self to clear resistance and free talents, skills, and abilities to fuller expression. The goal is to take responsibility for and to accelerate the healing process. process. Phone sessions are offered by Linda. Please visit Linda at lindamasterson.com or call 808-651-0307. Again, that's 808-651-0307.
Back to Food Integrity Now on Castle Rock Radio. Our guest today is Sally Fallon, the author of Nourishing Traditions and the founder of the Weston A. Price Foundation. Sally, big topic in the news recently, at least in the food world, has been the FDA raids on the raw milk dairy farms. And a few of these farms are caught in a legal limbo in which they are not able to operate and are in lawsuits with the FDA.
Actually, the raids have been on co-ops. Mm-hmm. There was a big raid in Venice Beach. And on cheesemakers, the most recent ones.
Okay.
Usually the raids on raw milk are carried out in the state level.
Okay.
Because the FDA technically does not have authority there. I think they'd like to think they do. They don't. And there is a tremendous hostility to not only raw milk, but farm fresh products, the direct farm sales. But the real lightning rod definitely is raw milk. And we are in the middle of this because the Weston A. Price Foundation is a big advocate of raw milk, raw whole milk from pastured cows. And for the simple reason of nutrient density, there is so much more nutrition, and raw milk is so much easier to digest than commercial processed milk. And it's a healing food for many people and a wonderful food for growing children. By the way, a great food for vegetarians because raw milk has everything in it. So we have, you know, this has been going on for a while. What we have done is increase demand for raw milk and encourage a lot of farmers to produce it. We have worked at getting a lot of state regulations loosened up. And, of course, the authorities aren't happy with that. One of the things we did was set up a legal defense fund for farmers selling raw milk and other direct farm-to-consumer products. And this has been a godsend because now these farmers who had really no defense in the past have 24-hour legal hotline to call. And we've taken on the you know, the regulators in a number of states, and mostly with victory. Not always, but usually we have won and allowed these farmers to continue.
That's great. I recently signed up for or purchased a share in a dairy cow a few weeks ago.
Excellent. You're in Colorado, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And the milk is just delicious. I wasn't drinking milk before that, but
right.
it's just so good. And I used to get an uncomfortable feeling when I would drink milk before, especially if I drank too much. But the other day, I maybe had a 32 ounces of it straight up, and
yeah.
It just tasted like ice cream. Tasted
yeah.
so good.
It tastes so sweet, so creamy.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a food that you don't have to prepare. It's much better than coffee. If you have a letdown in the afternoon, you can keep it in the fridge at the office. You can travel with it with a little ice bag or something. It's just a wonderful food for children. And the propaganda against raw milk is really pretty disgusting, in my opinion. It's very biased and just not up to date with the current science. We learn every week, it seems, we learn something more amazing about raw milk that we didn't know before and all its many miraculous properties.
Hmm. Well, Sally, I want to go back to a little bit the vegan diet that I'm on. It's funny, Matt and I are over here, and he's smiling at me right now with his drinking the raw milk and stuff. But right, Matt? Anyway, part of the reason that I'm experimenting with this diet is because of the studies of Dr. Colin Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand from our previous conversation that you dispute some of those studies. So I would like to hear your take on that.
Well, I don't dispute his study. Actually, his study was very interesting. He went into China and looked at correlations between food and various diseases and various blood markers in something like 50 different provinces. It was a horrendous, tremendous project. What I dispute is his interpretation of the project and his insistence that this China study showed that people on plant-based diets were healthier. And I went to the library 10 years ago and looked this up, and my colleague, Dr. Mary Enig, and I pored over their data, and we just shook our heads. How can he say this? There was nothing in the data that showed that people who were eating more plants were healthier. In fact, the people who had more meat and more dairy in many respects had less disease and better blood markers. But what's interesting is, when we wrote an article about this, it, you know, didn't make much of a splash, but in the last few months, there has been like a kind of outcry or uproar about the China study because other people, much more intelligent and much better at explaining all this than myself, have shown that, just the same thing, that these data do not support the claims that he makes for a plant-based diet.
Well, that's interesting. You know, it makes one wonder, you know, kind of what to believe.
Well, this is, you know, everyone's in a dilemma. You know, the traditional cultures knew instinctively what to eat. They didn't have to think about it. It was just there. We have lost that instinct, and we now, each one of us, has to go back and kind of wade through all of this. This is why we set up the Weston A. Price Foundation, so we could help people wade through this. I will say that there's a tremendous economic benefit to be gained for a certain segment of the economy if people do vegan and vegetarian diets, because the food industry makes a lot more money on plant-based foods than on animal-based foods. And they would much rather people ate fake chicken, fake fish, and fake milk, and fake yogurt, and all these things, because there's just a much larger profit margin.
Well, I don't think that Dr. Campbell is suggesting you eat anything fake like that. He suggests eating organic vegetables, legumes, eating whole grains, so which is pretty much what I was doing already. You know, I just eliminated chicken and fish, which were the only two meats that I ate, and a little bit of goat cheese.
And where is the fat in this diet?
Well, I do.
Where is the vitamin A? Where's the vitamin D? Where's vitamin K?
Well, the fat that I eat, avocados, I eat oils, I eat olive oil and coconut oil. And as far as my energy level, I feel great. So, I mean, it's really hard to dispute how I feel. Now, again, I keep in mind, you know, I will say I've only been doing this a month. So,
The really key nutrients like A, D, K, and B12, the body stores just for emergencies, and it's when you run out of these that you start to have problems. Usually what we hear from people who've tried this diet, the first thing that happens is problems with their teeth. So that'd be something to watch for.
Yeah, and it's my understanding that you can get B12 from eating foods grown in organic soil.
No, that's just not true. I mean, how does a rabbit get their B12? Anyone want to guess? They eat their fermented droppings.
Mm-hmm.
B12 is formed in the colon. We don't absorb it from the colon.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and this is why you get this coprophilia, it's called, in some people who've these communities where they're being vegans.
Mm-hmm.
You really need to get the B12 from meat, and not really even meat, but things like liver and raw milk is an excellent source of B12. And there's a special enzyme in the raw milk that helps you absorb the B12. And by the way, in the China study, they looked at one group in the north of China that consumed a lot of raw dairy products, and these people were very healthy. And Dr. Campbell said, well, this doesn't conform to our expectations, so he just ignored that province. So I would just urge you to reconsider at least and get some raw milk in your diet.
Oh, yeah. And again, I'm right now I'm open to learning as much as I can. But I also think what you were saying is everybody needs to decide what works best. You know, it's not one size fits all.
Right, right. So. Yeah, some people need lots of, you know, I'm a person who needs a lot of fat in my diet. I suffer from hypoglycemia as a young person, and I eat tons of butter, and I just put fat on everything, and that's what makes me feel good. Some people would get nauseous from all that fat. Nevertheless, we all share a need for a certain level of nutrition, and so it has to be obtained one way or another.
I experimented with a vegan diet for a while, and I went on a completely raw vegan diet and was able to sustain that for about 9 months. And then winter came and I began to crave protein. And I tried all kinds of vegetable proteins and nothing was taking away that craving, and I was getting fatigued. I didn't have very much energy. And I remember I just decided I was going to have some buffalo. And I had some buffalo and immediately felt better. Like within a couple of hours, my energy was back up. But ever since then, my balance has changed. I cannot have too much animal protein, but I do need some. And I do need some dairy products sometimes. But if I have over a certain amount, then I start to feel a little bit sluggish and not.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of people have low hydrochloric acid or something. And what we recommend, especially if you have been a vegetarian for a long time and you want to get back to the animal foods, is lots of bone broth. And this is one of the areas that we have really starred in bringing out all the research on these gelatinous broths and how fantastic they are for helping us digest all our other food. And we've had letters from people who say they actually couldn't eat meat until they learned to make bone broth and then would put the meat in their soups and things or make a sauce for their meat.
That's interesting.
And I'm similar. I need a sauce or a soup for the meat.
The what? I'm sorry?
I need a sauce or some soup or something to go with my meat. Mm. So that's something to think about there.
We're going to take a break, and we will be back with Sally Fallon. We're talking about diets and the studies of the Weston A. Price Foundation. And you are listening to Food Integrity Now on Castle Rock Radio. Stay tuned. Linda Masterson, Soul Purpose Astrologer, works with astrological tools and with guides in the non-physical to assist ones in knowing their soul purpose. Important in this process is identification of significant blockages. In each session, tools are provided for working with self to clear resistance and free talents, skills, and abilities to fuller expression. The goal is to take responsibility for and to accelerate the healing process. Phone sessions are offered by Linda. Please visit Linda at lindamasterson.com or call 808-651-0307. Again, that's 808-651-0307.
If you are looking for some flavorful, healthy, fresh food, come out to Maximilian's Cafe in Woodland Park, Colorado, focusing on local, fresh ingredients with a changing seasonal menu. Located at 209 East Midland Avenue, Woodland Park, Colorado, right off Highway 24 in downtown. Our walls are full of local artist artwork, and on Friday and Saturday nights, we feature local singers, songwriters, and performers to entertain you while you relax and enjoy a fun environment, a glass of wine, and fantastic food. Open 7 days a week from 11 to 9 p.m., 11 to 8 p.m. on Sunday and Monday.
Hi, I'm Karen Cantrell. I'm an animal whisperer. I have the ability to connect with the energy of your animals. During our session, you will gain a valuable understanding of what the animal is experiencing and why, the ways that you can assist them, and also discover the information and support your animal's desire to share with you to assist you on your own healing path. For more information, visit my website, healinganimalwhisperer.com, or give me a call at 303-974-1978.
Are you seeking understanding and assistance in healing your depression and anger or lack of passion? Hi, my name is Tammy Urbanek at Empowerment Through Healing, and I'm a medium clairvoyant who can work with your spirit guides to assist you. Your spirit guides can offer solutions and understanding at current life issues that you're facing. Visit www.empowermentthroughhealing.com for more information, and you can call me at 719-641-2017.
Welcome back to Food Integrity Now on Castle Rock Radio. We're talking with Sally Fallon, author of Nourishing Traditions. Sally, one of the most interesting parts I found about your cookbook is the presentation of fermented foods, the beet kvass, the sauerkraut, and I find these foods delicious. I find that I crave them sometimes. But also what I find to be remarkable about them is that they're what we used to rely on before we really had refrigeration. And
that's right. Yes, that's right.
And they also have a lot of beneficial health properties as a result of the fermentation. Am I correct?
Right. Yes, it's the only way of preserving food that actually increases the nutrient levels. All the B vitamins go up. Vitamin C sometimes increases tenfold. The minerals become more available. Whereas the other ways of preserving food, like canning and cooking, reduce the nutrient levels in the food. But lactofermentation greatly increases the nutrient levels. And in the past, before refrigeration, we had fresh fruits and vegetables during spring and summer, and then fall and winter, people ate lactofermented pickles and condiments and this kind of thing. But the really great benefit of lactofermented foods is that they're very rich in enzymes and good bacteria. So they're aids to digestion. And the renaissance of these fermented foods has coincided with the birth of a new paradigm, really. It's been amazing to see how we've switched from the view that the only good microorganism is a dead microorganism to the understanding that we need to have a digestive tract fully populated with good bacteria in order to live, in order to feel good, in order to have good digestion and good elimination. And so we've got all these probiotic products out there, but way before probiotic pills, people ate these lactofermented foods, which are full of good bacteria.
We were talking a little bit about about proper digestion, and you were saying how the importance of bone broths. Mm-hmm. But I remember the recipe for you advocate drinking small beer. Small beer is I made it once. It's basically beer that has very low level of alcohol in it,
level of lactic acid. Yeah.
Okay. Right. Yeah. And people would, in prior times, people would drink something like that along with a heavy breakfast.
Yeah. In fact, in one of the Shakespeare plays, it's Henry IV, Part Two. When the reformed prince goes to the throne, he complains about having to drink small beer and whey. Because he's been good now. He's not drinking real beer. So the small beer was a mildly alcoholic but lacto-fermented type of beer. It was probably very sour, but very good for digestion.
I found it quite tasty. And
Good.
Yeah, very, very hoppy.
We'd love for these kind of things to come back. We are encouraging a cottage industry for soft drinks and mildly alcoholic lacto-fermented beverages. It's going to take a while, but one of the things we do at our conference, which is coming up in just about 10 days, is we feature a lot of these artisan soft drinks, the healthy types of soft drinks. There's a crying need for healthy soft drinks, something that's not alcoholic and something that's not one of these horrible sugar-laden or artificially sweetened soft drinks that we have available today, but something that quenches your thirst, that's fizzy and tastes good, and it's good for you. And that's what these lacto-fermented beverages do.
Sally, I understand we have a caller on the line.
And the winner of your Maximilian certificate.
Oh, great. are you there, caller?
I'm here. This is Jane in Denver.
Hello, Jane.
Hello?
Do you have a question for Sally?
Yeah, I actually have tons of them, but I'll just try to keep it short here. On the raw milk, is there any evidence that people who drink raw milk are less or more likely to have lactose intolerance? And can people with lactose intolerance drink raw milk?
Yes, we have done a number of surveys. One was just a sort of amateur survey, and then we actually hired a survey company to do this. And we've actually done two sort of amateur surveys, and we find that about 80 to 85% of people diagnosed as lactose intolerant, whether it's lactose intolerant or allergy or whatever, do fine on raw milk. Now, that still leaves about 15 to 20% of people who can't do any dairy, people. But it was a very high percentage that did beautifully on the raw milk. And we find this especially in children who are not thriving, who can't tolerate dairy, who have all sorts of allergies and behavior problems. A lot of this clears up when you put them on what we call real milk. That's full-fat, raw dairy from pasture-fed cows. Each one of those components is important.
Wow, that's interesting.
And by the way, for your questions, because we won't be able to answer all the questions, we have a huge website. It's westonaprice.org, westonaprice.org. And there's a search engine there. If anything you're looking for, you can find. We have a subsidiary website called realmilk.com. By the way, we have a tour, a beginning tour of the website and a beginning tour for vegetarians. And we also have the information on our upcoming conference on the website as well.
Thanks a lot.
Let's continue on to what you're talking about with healthy soft drinks. One of those being kombucha, which is so prevalent in the market today.
I
think a lot of people have been able to kick their soda addictions because they're getting their sweet fizzy fix from kombucha.
Right.
I like it.
Or their alcohol addictions.
True, yeah.
Kombucha is the alcoholic's best friend because it really does give you a lift in the right kind of way and tastes great. You know, it really quenches your thirst.
So I brew it myself, and it really varies. Some of my batches are pretty alcoholic. Some of them are less, and I think it has to do with the temperature at which it's brewing.
Well, you want them to brew long enough to get sour.
Mm-hmm.
And then you really don't want this to be an alcoholic beverage.
Okay.
Actually, in principle, it should be less than 0.5% alcohol,
okay,
which is what you find in fruit juice and soft drinks and everything. So you can't ever get rid of the alcohol entirely, but you don't want it to be an alcoholic beverage.
So just
by the way, I hear there's something new called lambucha, which is lambic and kombucha.
Really?
Lambic beer and kombucha, yeah. It's being made in Belgium and imported here.
Well, we're going to get Matt to make that for us.
I have a batch of kombucha wine that is fermenting right now.
Oh, wow.
I can't wait to try that one.
Yeah, Carol really likes wine. I was thinking about her when I made it. Basically, you take the kombucha and you do a secondary ferment without oxygen in it.
Uh-huh.
Allows you, it basically is the same thing as creating wine, but it has all the beneficial acids
good
that were created with the kombucha prior to that secondary ferment.
Wow.
Well, I will look forward to trying that, Matt. And I'll get back with our listeners and let you know.
So, Sally, what do you think about that? Having that 0.5% of alcohol in the kombucha for an alcoholic, is that just stringing it out? Their eventual need to just go cold turkey? Or
no,
what do you think
I don't
about
think that? So, because fruit juices have that, and you make alcohol in your stomach, in your small intestine, We all make about an ounce of alcohol a day. So I don't think the 0.5% in the kombucha makes much difference.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
And, you know, people who give up alcohol, a lot of times they're still alcoholics. In other words, they still feel lousy because they don't get their alcohol. They just feel terrible, but they're exercising their willpower. And I'm a great believer in I'm not into renunciation. You know, I think we should enjoy life. Our food should be delicious and rich, and what we drink should be delicious and thirst quenching. And the good news is there's a healthy way of doing all of those things. I just don't think we were put on this earth to have to always go against the built-in pleasure principle.
Well, since I'm being kind of the devil's advocate on this show, I have a question. What do you think about the Gerson Institute and Charlotte Gerson's method of healing cancer?
Well, Dr. Gerson wrote a book called 50 Cases,
right.
And he apparently healed 50 advanced cases of cancer. Now, the key component of his therapy was liver juice. And liver juice is extremely high in vitamin A, which, of course, is something we promote ourselves. And vitamin A is very key for combating cancer or even recovering from cancer. Now, the current clinic and his daughter does not use the liver juice, and I just don't know what kind of results that they're getting. Usually when people go on, and she's doing a sort of vegan diet, lots of vegetable juices and things.
It's not sort of vegan. It's 100% vegan.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. So I just don't know what kind of results she's getting. My experience with cancer patients is sometimes that really helps them. Two things are going on here. They're going on that diet, and they're also getting off of a lot of things, a lot of really bad things. But eventually they get in trouble with nutrient deficiencies. And I have no quarrel with some kind of fasting or getting off certain foods for a short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
That we find in all cultures also. But what? Over time you get deficiencies.
Is liver juice really what it sounds like?
Yeah, and he had a special type of press that was called a Norwalk juicer. And you put these livers in and it pressed the juice out.
I have one of those. I'm going to go home and make some of that.
Matt has every great.
He said for carrots, he didn't like them to be ground up in a blender. He didn't think that was good. They had to be pressed out with this Norwalk juicer.
Wow. So the vitamin A, that's why you talk about, I think I've read one of your articles on cod liver oil, mm-hmm. and that it's actually difficult to get cod liver oil with the really, really high quantities of natural vitamin A. At the health food store, it's generally there's some synthetic added.
What happens is in the typical cod liver oil, it's all produced in Europe. It's boiled at 230 degrees for hours, and it's filtered. And what you end up with is a cod liver oil with not very much vitamin D and lots of vitamin A. And that's a problem because the vitamin A can be toxic without the vitamin D. Now, what we're very excited about is a company in the United States is making cod liver oil the old way. It's never heated. It's actually fermented, and he's getting these beautiful levels of natural A and D and a very good balance between the two.
Oh, wow. Well, we're going to take a break right now. We're talking with Sally Fallon. This is Food Integrity Now, and we'll be right back.
Experiencing anxiety, anger, depression, or low self-esteem? Do you beat yourself up or sabotage what you truly want to achieve? Hi, this is Jeannie Smith, and at Open Heart Healing, I combine counseling, gestalt therapy, and Tai Chi energy work to assist those who truly desire to bring quality and joy back into their lives. My office is located on South Perry Street here in Castle Rock. Call me for a free consultation at 303-660-6373. Again, that's 303-660-6373, or visit me at openhearthealing.com.
Hi, Hi, everyone. This is Carol again, and I just wanted to talk to you about one of our new sponsors, Hole in the Wall Herb and Vitamin Shop up in Woodland Park. The owners, Mark and Nancy Duvall, are not only close personal friends, but they're also my nutritional gurus. They are now selling, teaching, and doing Acira bioenergetic testing on their clients. I had this done, and I found out all my food allergies, emotional stressors, environmental sensitivities, hormonal balance, and I received a customized homeopathic remedy. Please call them for more information at 1-800-437-3240.
Hi, folks. My name is Guy Harold, and my family has been in the surgical stainless steel cookware business for 63 years. I am a value dealer. I sell for less. The cookware is used by Gearson and Price Pottinger, people around the world. Why? Our steel is non-reactive, non-porous, and is correct for your cooking needs. The temperature gauge knob tells you when the texture of produce and minimizes plant cell breakage, saving up to 48.9% more nutritional food value. The cookware has a lifetime warranty. No aluminum, no coatings, no cast iron, no ceramic, and no glass. Nothing to break or wear out. And you can stack cook up to three tiers high, saving you energy as well as food value. Call the Cookware Guy at 760-505-7057 or visit our website at www.stainlesscookware4u.com. That's stainlesscookware4u.com.
Welcome back to Food Integrity Now. We're talking with Sally Fallon, author of Nourishing Traditions. And Sally, you were just explaining about cod liver oil and that there needs to be a balance between A and D. And you were just about to start talking about vitamin D, I think. They're doing a lot of studies showing that most of the population is deficient in this vitamin
right.
and how important it is.
You know, I sort of have to laugh because Garrison Keillor talks about the vitamin hit parade, and a number of years ago, vitamin E was at the top of the vitamin hit parade. Well, today,
right,
it's vitamin
D
is up there. And there's just a lot of talk about vitamin D, and for sure, we're seeing tremendous signs of deficiency. Even we're seeing rickets in some children.
Why is that?
You know, like, Americans just always go overboard on everything, and so people are taking huge levels of vitamin D, and they don't realize that in the literature there's a lot of stuff about what happens when you get too much vitamin D. You get calcinosis, you get calcification of the arteries and the soft tissue, and that's not good. So we at the Weston A. Price Foundation were trying to, figure out, here Weston Price found very high levels of A and very high levels of D in these traditional diets. I mean, 10 times more than we get in our diets or more. And yet in the literature, you have lots of studies or some studies showing that vitamin A can cause problems and vitamin D can cause problems. And so we did a very, very thorough search of the literature and published our findings. And basically, if you have too much D without enough A, you get problems with vitamin A deficiency. And if you have too much A without the D, you get problems with vitamin D deficiency. So this is why we need to get these vitamins from food. They tend to occur together in foods.
In
and
the
this
proper
is why
balance.
We recommend cod liver oil, because it's a food. It's not a pill. It's not a, it's not something that's manufactured. It's a food.
Can you tell us about what is the company that makes that fermented cod liver oil?
They're called Green Pasture, and the actual cod liver oil is called Blue Ice. If you go to our website, westonaprice.org, the only food that we actually recommend brand names for and provide information on all the different brands is cod liver oil, because we just think it's so important to get the right type of cod liver oil. So all that information will be at westonaprice.org.
Well, we only have a few more minutes to with our time or our time with you. I have a question. I had mentioned to you about Lyme disease, and I'm pretty sure that you said that I could really heal my Lyme disease with cod liver oil and raw milk.
Well, we know people who have.
Okay,
I know two people in particular who had very serious Lyme, who just did lots of raw whole milk and plenty of cod liver oil.
Wow.
I would probably add the bone broth to that because they are so healing. Mm. I look at Lyme as a kind of mild type of polio. And you know, there is actually some discussion about whether it's even caused by pesticides rather than microorganisms. But the microorganisms can give off very toxic substances, so they could cause these symptoms. And vitamin A is very critical here, so is vitamin D. And the raw milk, such a healing food. So that's what I would recommend. Yeah.
Is how about arthritis? Have you done any studies on this?
Well, now, we don't do studies. We'd love to have the money to do studies, but we do look at the studies.
Right, right.
And, yes, cod liver oil can be very, very helpful for arthritis.
Right. Well, you know, our time is up with you, and I really want to thank you personally because you've given me a lot of things to think about. you know, I'm not thoroughly convinced. I want to just really... you know, sit with this and just see how I feel for a while. So anyway, but I really thank you for the great information, especially about the cholesterol. That really helped me a lot.
Yeah, well, do spend some time on the website because there's a tremendous amount there, and we're proud of the information we've put together there. And any personal questions, we do try to answer all the emails. The email is info@westonaprice.org.
Thanks, Sally. I'm going to put
Thanks for having me. Good luck with your small beer and your all your experiments. I just love it. I really see all the beverages in the future being made by interesting, eccentric people.
Oh, thanks. My kitchen is certainly a laboratory, thanks to you.
She just described you, Matt. Interesting and eccentric.
I love things like that, yeah. I mean, people more interesting, or certainly I wouldn't say interesting, but certainly more eccentric than me. My kids gave me a very hard time when they were growing up, but I was so different.
Oh, that's great. Well, thank you for sharing your knowledge. I think I know a lot of people who are really big fans of your cookbook. And
thank you.
It changed a lot of
so
lives.
Much.
Well, we want to spend a few minutes here talking about our exciting guests that we're going to be having next week on the Food Integrity Now show. We are going to be having Jean-Michel Cousteau, who is the son of Jacques Cousteau. And Jean-Michel is going to be talking with us about the Gulf and the state of the Gulf after the oil spill. And it's my understanding that he is currently working on a documentary on this very topic, and some of you may have seen some YouTube videos about his take on the dispersants that they supposedly use to clean the Gulf. And we're going to get to the bottom of this because he is definitely an expert at marine life, and you know, we're really excited to have gotten him as a guest on our show.
Yeah, it's been hard to. In our searches, it's been a little difficult to find someone that really wants to give the truth about what is happening down there. There's been a University of South Florida scientists had found that the dispersants had actually mutated the DNA of microorganisms in the Gulf. And as every biologist knows, it all starts at that level. And what is the effect as it goes up the food chain?
Right. And the FDA, everybody, or not everybody, but a lot of people have heard this, that they pretty much had said that the fish was good to go because they smelled it. And, you know, which seems not very scientific to me.
And we even contacted the FDA to get them someone to be on the show, and they refused. So we're really excited to have someone who is an expert and will be able to clear some of this up for us.
I personally find it comical to think that right now there is a group of humans sitting in a room smelling fish. It almost seems like a joke out of a Woody Allen movie.
Yeah, it does. And yet this is something that is completely acceptable to the public because no one seems to be questioning it.
Yeah. So be sure to tune in next week. That should be a fantastic show. We want to take this time to introduce Tammy Urbanek. She is about to come on the next show in her new time slot, her new permanent time slot, and we're really happy to have her here.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Tammy, what are you? Tell us a little bit about yourself and what your show is going to be today.
My show, Empowerment Through Healing, is about healing in on a lot of different areas, but essentially I'm focusing in on my ability as a medium, clairvoyant, and a Tai Chi practitioner. Today I'll be interviewing Jeannie Smith, also a Tai Chi practitioner and a therapist, in her journey to heal her religious indoctrination. And we talk about a lot of different topics. A little bit later in November, I'm going to be interviewing Michael Bohosky and his past as a priest. And also in December, I'll be interviewing Hoska Harrison, a medium as well.
That's great. I've caught a few of your shows in the archives, Tammy, and it's really helped me in my own healing. And I found them to be really educational and entertaining to listen to.
Thank you. Also, I would like to add that many times during the show, I'll be opening up for people to call in for a session with their own guides if they choose to. Today, I don't think there'll be time, but I do think that next week there'll be time for people to call in for a session.
Great. I've had a few sessions myself, and they are really helpful.
Thank you.
Yeah, I want to second that. I've had several sessions with Tammy, and it's been a really valuable part of my journey. I also wanted to let our Food Integrity Now listeners know that we have a website. It's called foodintegritynow.org, and you can go to that website, and all our shows are archived on there. We have some great articles, and you can subscribe to the site, and then you'll get an email notifying you when we have a current archive or article. You can also find us on Facebook. At Food Integrity Now on Facebook. So get involved.
And on Twitter.
And Twitter, right.
Yeah, so check out the website. I'm about to post a couple of new articles about the honeybees, which is a big issue right now. And we're going to close here. Be sure to stay tuned for Empowerment Through Healing. This is Matt Spaeth here in the studio with Carol Gervais and Susan Wright. You're listening to Food Integrity Now on Castle Rock Radio.